Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, April 7th, and today we're reading from the Big Book. We are on page 73, paragraph 2, and that begins with, "The inconsistency is made worse," and ends with, "That makes for more drinking." Today's readers are Alex K. for the 12 Steps, Cheryl S. for the 12 Traditions, Jordan L., Jennifer A., and Julie E. B. are our readers. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 20129. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, Friday, April 7th, is 20131. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will ask Alex K. to please read the 12 steps for us.
Thank you. Good morning, Alex K., compulsive eater, recovered for today in California. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of persons we had harmed and became to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. Grateful to do service.
Thank you very much, Alex K. And I will now ask Cheryl S. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. This is Cheryl S., gratefully recovered in Nevada. Number 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supported, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you very much, Cheryl S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. Have a quiet meeting. Everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 73, paragraph 2, which begins with the inconsistency is made worse and ends with that makes for more drinking. And I will now ask Jordan L. to please begin reading.
Hey, thanks, Elaine, for moderating for us this morning. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning of Overeaters Anonymous. The inconsistency is made worse by the things he does on his sprees. Coming to his senses, he is revolted at certain episodes which he vaguely remembers. These memories are a nightmare. He trembles to think someone might have observed him. As fast as he can, he pushes these memories far inside himself. He hopes they will never see the light of day. He is under constant fear and tension. That makes for more drinking. So I want to back up to the previous paragraph real quick. Just to point out that the problem is kind of named in the previous paragraph. This person, the actor that we're talking about here, right, the alcoholic, knows in his heart he doesn't deserve the reputation that he's trying to enjoy. And what that points out here, and it's not the first time in the book for sure. But I do think it's a pretty important pivotal moment is that we have a heart problem, and not in the sense of our physical heart is not pumping blood and doesn't work very well, but in the spiritual sense of we have almost a processing problem, the way that we process life isn't in alignment with our heart or our truest self, right? And I started to understand this in my four steps. I did start to understand that the people that I had resentment against, right? All these people and institutions that I had written down, some of these resentments really had nothing to do with the person that I had named. The resentment was much more so about me and my own personal background, my own experience in life, and maybe how at some point in my past that had kind of gotten tainted, right? And so I, I, like, prior to recovery, I was living in the food. I was trying to enjoy this reputation. And the inconsistency, like, I'm really the only one who's aware of the inconsistency, but that inconsistency is affecting the way that I feel about myself. It's affecting the way that I feel about everyone else around me. It's affecting my daily interactions with all of these other people. like, there's a living problem here, which we touched on in step one. Like, we admitted that our lives were unmanageable, right? But we're really starting to get down to, like, the root of our living problem, of what it is that that makes our life so unmanageable, that causes so many problems. and so as far as the things that I did on my sprees, I had a serious rage problem. It definitely increased that inconsistency that I felt deep down in my heart.
Gentle reminder.
I'll wrap up here because I was trying to I was trying to not let anyone see that, and by not letting anyone see that, by not being honest with another compulsive overeater about that, I just continued to stuff it down inside instead of, like, letting it out and letting it go. And that's kind of the point here. That's what we're getting at in 5 and 6, is, like, we're trying to let some of this stuff go, give it over to God. So thanks for letting me share. That's what I got.
Thank you very much, Jordan L., for kicking us off. All right. So we will now pick a lineup. And though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared for the past 3 days, we'd love to hear from you today. Please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
This is Elaine G. Elaine from New York.
I heard Elaine G. from New York, and I heard a Debbie E., I believe.
Veronica B.
M.
Veronica B. and somebody M.
Selena M.
Selena M.
Patricia P.
Patricia P. Anybody else?
Sherry Heron, Sherry H.M.
Sherry H.M. That's a great lineup. Okay, we've got Elaine G., Debbie E., Veronica B., Selena M., Patricia P., and Sherry H.M. Elaine G., please share with us, and you'll be followed by Debbie E.
Hi, this is Elaine from New York. Glad to be here. I want to share on this paragraph about consistency. When I am into the food, there's no consistency at all. I mean, for one thing, very consistent about compulsive eating, but inconsistency where I don't know when I get into the food what the heck I'm going to be doing. You know, it doesn't make any sense at all anyway, you know. But all I know is that I get myself into more trouble and more trouble and more trouble, that it's hard to get myself out of it unless I start getting abstinent. I mean, like, I did something last night that was terrible. I mean, like, I was in my room, and like I said, it wasn't abstinent. And closed my door because my friend's here. And I was in there a long time in my bedroom between taking a shower, talking to people on the OA. And what can I tell you? She's from New Jersey. We've been together a long time, 20 years, and she worried about me. So I didn't leave my door locked because I didn't think she'd come in. But she was worried about me. So I overreacted and started yelling at her. Would I do this if I was absent? No, I would not do this. I would think clearly about it. Yeah, and realize what had happened to you. So this morning I had to make an amends, and the two of us went to bed sore at each other. But you know, I was thinking about it all night, really. Did I compulsive eat over? Yeah. And, you know, I got to learn that when this urge to eat because of something bothering me, I need to pick up the phone. I need to pick up the phone, make a meeting. And I know these things. You know, I know them. This self-knowledge, right? But if I don't put it in my heart, it does me no good. So then I get deeper and deeper into compulsive eating, and I get myself in real hot water. I mean, yelling at people, out of control, you know. And after a while, people don't even want to talk to me because I'm irritable, discontent, you know. And that's how I relate to the chapter. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Elaine G. Debbie E., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Veronica B. Please share with us, Debbie. Debbie E., star one to unmute. Can I be heard? This is Elaine B. Can I be heard? Yeah,
yes, Elaine, I can hear you.
Yeah. Okay,
yes,
great.
You can be heard.
Thank you very much. Debbie E., I thought there was a Debbie E. in the lineup. Debbie E., star one to unmute. Well, let's try Veronica B.
Hi, I'm Veronica. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Thank you so much for your service. Happy Friday, everyone, and happy holidays. How this paragraph relates to me is, before I came into Overeaters Anonymous, the way my lifestyle was very inconsistent. You know, I would behave how I would behave based on how I was feeling, how if I knew I was going to get the food or not. If I knew there was food around to ease my fear and tension, then I would behave pretty okay. I would be tolerable. But if I knew there was no food around or just waiting for the next, you know, my next binge, I would be restless, irritable, and discontented. This is how my lifestyle was inconsistent. You know, I couldn't keep my word. I would just commit to things and I wouldn't keep my word, and I would feel bad about myself and I would eat over it. You know, all my lifestyle was just very dishonest. That's how I relate to the inconsistency part for me. Very dishonest lifestyle. I had a double life. And then the fear and the tension, that was my constant state. Constant state being in fear and tension because I was relying on self. There was no God anywhere in the picture. My God of my understanding was, you know, not a very nice guy in my eyes, you know. But then I came to you guys and I did this work. I took the 12 steps and I got my spiritual awakening. And I have a friend today. I have a God of my understanding. Like, you know, he's my friend. And he's personal to me and only me. And he's with me all times. I just have to ask him for help. He's by my side every single day, but it's up to me to seek him and to ask him, hey, can you help me out in this, with this fear, or, you know, with this resentment that I have. And that's what program has given me, this freedom that I can live comfortable in my skin, even under uncomfortable situations. And that is freedom for me. Freedom. And I only get that here and working these steps, getting a relationship with a God of my understanding, which I like to call my friend, and being in the middle of this program, not forgetting who I am, my true self. I'm a compulsive eater, my life's unmanageable. And everyone have a great weekend, and with that, I pass.
Well, thank you very much, Veronica B. That is freedom. Awesome. Okay, I still think that there's a Debbie out there, perhaps that I had heard, that we're going to line up. So I'll give Debbie a chance to unmute. Maybe I had the last initial wrong. Okay. Not hearing from a Debbie. Selena M., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Patricia P. Please share with us, Selena.
Hi, everyone. My name is Selena M. I'm a compulsive overeater from Alberta, Canada. I was definitely inconsistent, it made my life very, very unmanageable. I had a lot of things that I would do during either my drinking or my eating sprees, and then I would try and shove it all down and get up the next day and try to be a better person. And I would just continue that cycle over and over and over again. I heard a lot of people, and, you know, I heard a lot of people, but, you know, it was the people closest to me. So my acquaintances, I keep very good acquaintances. They think I'm a wonderful person because I'm able to mask a lot of the fears and the resentments and the struggles that I have going on in my mind on a regular basis. But where I struggle to mask is when I come to my own home or I, you know, am with a closer friend. They see some of the unmanageability and some of the challenges that I have with relationships because of addiction, because of compulsive overeating. And so that's where I feel like my life is unmanageable. It's where I have, it's dealing with those relationships. And so, I've been in program for a while. I've been in program for 12 years, and I've done two steps. I'll say completed in quotes because step studies, because I don't think I ever really did a really good step 9. And so I'm going through the steps again. And I think that, you know, going into this last step work, I really feel like my life was still unmanageable, and I was almost living in that quote unquote dry drunk state where I was, working a program and I had nothing to take away the discomfort, but I also had nothing, I wasn't dealing with the issues that I needed to deal with, making amends, dealing with some of the resentments. And so, in order for me to find peace, I need to continue working through these steps. And so that's what I'm doing. And the promise is that if I finish these steps and I continue to, you know, I do that step 9, I work that step 10 every day and be of service to my fellows, that I will be able to not have to, I won't have to mask anymore. I'll be able to just show up for, you know, the people in my life that are closest to me. So I'm just continuing one day at a time and
gentle reminder.
Just going to keep working towards the promises that I hear about. So thanks, everyone. My name is Selena M., and I'm from Alberta, Canada.
Thank you very much, Selena. Patricia P., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Sherry H. M. And let me just remind everybody where we are, because we'll be taking another lineup after Sherry H.M. We're on page 73, paragraph 2, begins with the inconsistency is made worse and ends with that makes for more drinking. Please share with us, Patricia P.
I'm Patricia P. from Michigan, Eastern Time.
Patricia, you sound really distant. I'm not sure if you're using a speakerphone or something, but we'll hear you better if you get right on the line.
Do you have can you hear me better now?
So much better. Thank you very much.
Oh, I forgot to put my speaker button down. I remember the days where I tried to eat secretly and wouldn't want to destroy my reputation of a compulsive overeater. And I would be filled with fear, nameless fear that I didn't know I had until I joined OA. That's just all I have to say. I am a recovered compulsive overeater one day at a time. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Patricia P. Thank you very much for sharing with us. Okay, so Sherry M. is up next, and then we'll take another lineup on page 73, paragraph 2. Please share with us, Sherry H.M.
Good morning. This is Sherry H.M., gratefully recovered from Washington State. What a great reminder this is, because back in the day, I just would stuff myself with whatever, usually sugar, you know, carbs, but mostly sugar, a sugar addict. And anyway, I was caught in that shame. I was caught in all the fear, all the resentment, all the buildup of emotions, and didn't even really know it. And then it would lead to a lot of depression. I would just spike down really quite low. And it was just a mess. And thankfully to God, you know, there is a solution. And I love this program has worked so well for, I don't know, 8.5 years. And it's just wonderful to be free of all the constraints that was feeding my my need for food. So I'm so grateful for this program, so grateful for you guys, and thanks, and have a glorious Easter. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Sherry H.M. Okay, so we value everybody's experience. We do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on page 73, paragraph 2, and you haven't shared in the last 2 days, please press star 6 to unmute. Give me your name.
Kim A.
This is Carol R. from Oregon.
Kim A. And was that Carol R.?
Joan R.
Joan R. Anybody else? I have Kim A. and Joan R. Star 1 to unmute if you'd like to share.
Tom L.
Robin B.
I heard Tom L. and Robin B. I think there's room for maybe one or two more, or a couple more, yeah, for sure.
Lorreen W.
Lorreen W. And somebody else came in with Lorreen. Who was that?
Linda P.
Linda P. All right. So, well, let's see how we do with this lineup. That's awesome. We have Kim A., Joan R., Tom L., Robin B., Lorreen W., or maybe Lauren W., and Linda B., please correct me if I got something wrong as we go through your share. And we're starting off with Kim A., followed by Joan R. Please share with us, Kim.
Thanks. This is the paragraph that starts with the inconsistency, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thanks so much. So we're getting into this chapter where we have just completed our fourth step inventory, and now they're talking about the fifth step. And the point of the fourth step inventory isn't so much to, like, you know, purge my life on paper or to relive traumatic experiences. It's really to just see how my thinking has me living in this chronic state of resentment and fear and selfishness, which causes me to do harm to other people, whether it's sex harms or just, you know, all kinds of different harms. And so we're not really able to see that ourselves, right? We're not able to see how our minds lie to us. And we do have all these inconsistencies in our thinking because our minds are pretty delusional. Our minds are telling us that the world is wronging us and we're living in resentment or we're living in self-pity. Our minds are telling us that food is going to make us somehow feel better. Or our minds can't manage this decision to not take that first compulsive bite because we tell ourselves, okay, this time it's going to be different. This time, you know, whatever it is, any way we look at it, our minds are not really aligned with any kind of truth. And so when we give this fourth step inventory to our sponsor, in step 5, our sponsor can help us really see the truth in our thinking, to see how inconsistent our thinking is with the actual, like, world around us. Because this, again, you know, these are the reasons why we eat. I didn't eat because I was addicted to any particular ingredient. I didn't eat because I wasn't on the right food plan. I thought for years, I was a chronic relapser for 18 years in OA, and I thought it was because I wasn't managing and controlling my food well enough or the right way. But it wasn't until I found a sponsor that took me through these steps exactly as they went in the big book and helped me really understand what my problem was, that I was able to find relief from that. And I don't even need a food plan to do that, because if I'm going to be able to address the inconsistencies and the lying in my thinking and the actions that come out of that, then I'm not going to need to go to food for ease and comfort, because I'm going to have the ease and comfort from my higher power and from sending 10 steps throughout the day when I see my thinking creeping back in. And I know for me, a big part of what drove me to food too was that I lived in so much shame because I couldn't control my food. I couldn't stop going back to it. I knew I wasn't a nice person. Not that I'm a bad person, but I knew
just
that.
A reminder.
Thanks. Even though, like, I'm a kind, good person, I was acting out all over the place. I couldn't control, as they say in the bedevilments, I couldn't control my emotional nature. So I'm going to wrap up with that. My name is Kim A., and I'm in New York City. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Kim A. Joan R., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Tom L. Please share with us, Joan. Joan R., star one to unmute.
Sorry, I was muted. Anyway, glad to be here. This is a paragraph that is really true for me, like so many people have shared so beautifully. And it's definitely one that is showing my need to, or just start living out, being at the bottom again. And I've had so many spiritual experiences in the 50 years here in this program, but I kept getting stuck. I knew for years that I was stuck on step two, even though I thought I had a God that was, you know, able to relieve me of this spiritual illness. It just did not happen that way. It's been a long, educational variety of getting spiritual experiences, and I'm very grateful for that. I mean, I don't want to discount anything that's happened to me that is, you know, both good and bad, even though I've always wanted to stop that. But the bad stuff. But now I have been able to receive this beautiful gift of knowing, and I mean not knowing, but believing, finally believing that I have a God that really loves me. The picture of the emoji with all the kisses on its head, just all these really. Just a revelation to me that I have a God that loves me, and I am free. I am free from the compulsive eating. And as those of you who have experienced this, you know what a life changing experience this is. And so I just wanted to share that. And thank you for letting me do that. My name is Joan R. from Oregon, and I pass.
I have a God that loves me, and I'm free. That's beautiful. Thank you very, very much. Okay, Tom L., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Robin B. Please share with us, Tom.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for all the service that you're doing. I know it's not easy to put on this show. It really makes my morning better. Well, I would like to enjoy a certain reputation with you guys. I mean, in OA in general. But one of my favorite quotes from Bill's story is, the curve of my declining moral and bodily health fell off like a ski jump. So if you're drinking a couple of bottles of gin a day, you're not acting very well. You're not just sitting there snoring. You're doing things. And when I was in my cups, when I am in my cups, relapse isn't that long ago, I do things. And I'm glad you don't know what those are, but I do have a sponsor. And that guy knows in detail what I did in my drinking years, so to speak. And what I did in early sobriety in the first couple months because I didn't have food anymore. And I had to get through the world, and frankly, I needed to be obsessed about something besides food. And there are a lot of things to be obsessed about, and they're shameful. They just are. But I went to my sponsor's house, and he requested that I do it face-to-face with him. I usually call him because I'm about 50 miles away from him. And for a couple of weekends, I went over there. We didn't do it in one shot. I know some people do that, but we did. He can only pay attention for about an hour and a half before he drifts because he's a sick guy like me. And it was embarrassing for various reasons because I have political, racial, sexist beliefs that were not his, let's put it that way. But he knew. And I don't have to tell you what they were. I need one other person has to know. Otherwise, I can't be part of the group. I will be on the outside looking through that dirty window. Plus, I will be obsessed with things. Obsession feeds on itself. And if I want to be helpful to other people, I can't live that way anymore. And being helpful is what keeps me alive. It's my oxygen. So anyway, I'm glad you don't know my double life, but there are guys who do, and it is extreme. It is a blessing. Who knew? Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much for sharing, Tom L. Robin B., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Lorene W. Please share with us. Robin?
Hi, this is Robin B. in Ohio, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I've been living in recovery one day at a time. And I'm thankful for this program and being able to live in recovery. And when I read this paragraph, the last sentence was most profound to me, where it reads, "He is under constant fear and tension that makes for more drinking." And in this last week, I've had fears crop up. In a resentment, and I had to go through, you know, I did my 10 step on it, and writing those fears down, and then giving that 10 step away and working through that, it occurred to me that I hadn't been spending the time with my higher power that I should have been, that I had been previously. So for me, it is so crucial for me to set aside that time and live in step 11 and doing the meditation and the prayer. And it's not that my higher power ever leaves me. He is always there. It's that I wander away. And when that happens, then there are these fears that creep up. And cause me problems. So I just wanted to share that. And moderator, I thank you for your service. I thank you, fellows, for listening. And I appreciate you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Robin B. Okay. I'm not sure if it was Lorene W. or Lorraine W., but will you please, or Lauren W., but you're up next, followed by Linda B.
This is Lorene W. from Massachusetts.
Lorene. It was you. Right. Okay, thank you, Lorene. Sorry for the confusion.
Welcome, and thank you for allowing me to share today on this very interesting paragraph, you know, that he trembles to think someone might have observed him. And I know for me, you know, I was always in fear that people would find out who I really was. That was one of my big step fours, that, boy, find out who I really was, and that the food, the sugar and the salt brought me to my knees many a night that I would do that constantly until I was going to bed. And it was terrible. It was terrible. And the behaviors I had while I was eating so much were awful. Someone shared earlier about the rage, and I had that rage, especially with my children, especially with them. They didn't know who was going to wake up in the morning, Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde, because that I didn't know. I didn't know. And on a binge the night before, it was not a pretty sight. It was not. And I could rage over something as simple as, like they say, spilled milk. And my behaviors were terrible. And thank God for program. I've been in program for 31 years. So luckily, my granddaughter, who's 12, has never seen me in that kind of behavior. Sure, I might have a slip once in a while of acting out not appropriately, but it's not all the time. And it's not a fear I have today because of program and because of this vision for you part of program that I'm in. It has really opened my eyes to a lot of my behaviors in the past. And boy, when you, it says that when I buried them far out inside of me, I didn't realize how far until I did the step work, the big book way. And that brought out so many bad memories, some good, but bad memories of my behavior in the past. And God has brought me where I need to be today. And I am so fortunate that I don't have to do that binging any longer. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much for sharing, Lorene W. Okay, Linda B. is up next, and we will have time for maybe a couple of shares after that. We are sharing on page 73, paragraph 2, which begins with the inconsistency and ends with makes for more drinking. So, Linda B., please share with us.
Hi, this is Linda. It's actually Linda P. as in Paul, a recovered compulsive overeater from Los Angeles, California. And thank you, everybody. Thanks for your service and thanks for all the shares. I really identify with this paragraph in a number of ways. The first part that I identify with is when it says he trembles to think that someone might have observed him. And I remember, you know, it's late at night. I was binging on this powdery substance and it was all over my shirt, my hands, my face. And I just had this moment of clarity, like, oh my God, what if my boyfriend walks out and sees me? And I cleaned myself off and I just continued to binge. It was just this horror of what I was really doing, but only if somebody else saw me, not if I'm doing it all by myself. You know, but there was just that kind of moment of clarity. And as soon as I saw it, I just continued onward, as it says, you know, in the, it just makes for more drinking. And then the other experience I remember is walking down the street in New York City, binging on a certain substance. And I'm thinking, you know, no one's going to see me in New York City. There's so many people. And I bumped into somebody I knew from OA and things all over my hands. And I was so humiliated and ashamed. Again, just being seen, you know, and it just showed, I mean, I just had so much shame about what I was doing, but while binging, it was okay, you know. So, you know, these two people, you know, that double living that double life. I so identify, and I'm so glad that I don't have to do that today, and that we have this fellowship, we have these steps, we have, you know, a higher power, all of that, you know, to be able to live a different life and to be able to be a more integrated person. I mean, I still sometimes struggle with other things, but, you know, on the whole, I feel like an integrated human being and recovered, and that's a huge gift. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. Linda P., appreciate your share. Okay, I was hoping we would have time for a couple of shares, but I think most comfortably we'll have time for one more share. So if you'd like to comment on what was read.
Babylonia,
it's all yours. Please share with us.
Okay. Well, I hate to end on this note, but I feel like I've been on the outside of OA because I have, like that other speaker shared, been looking through a dirty window, and I don't want to feel like I'm on the outside because I've been kind of dishonest with my food, like licks, bites, and tastes, and I don't even know when my real abstinent date is because sometimes I eat abstinent foods, but I eat like extra helpings of them. And I know I just want entire abstinence and I can't stop these food behaviors. And I mean, I still feel connected to God really powerfully. So I know that I just wanted to be honest with the group. Okay. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much. We do have time for one more share then. Star one to unmute if you'd like to close us out.
Rena, Jersey.
Please go ahead, Rena.
Thank you for your service. I'm really happy that we're reading about telling on ourselves, inventorying and telling on ourselves. Today at 5:55 p.m. Eastern time will be 21 days abstinence from ANOA. And tomorrow, I'm turning over my step four to my sponsor. I never thought I'd be the person who turns out to be cooking daily because I went from hardly cooking even three real meals a year to now cooking daily for myself and making the time for it, making the time for myself because my life is worth living. And as long as I'm here, I might as well live it well and live it healthily. I am off my water pill for a week now and doing well without it. And that's because I've been rigorous in my food program, as well as relying on God, my sponsor, and other people to encourage myself to do the right thing. So in terms of the behaviors of afraid of being seen, that spotlight effect, I definitely experienced that too, especially when I would go from one fast food place to another. Not so much for the food, but more for the dipping sauces so I could just make my own combination to give myself that hit on my taste buds. And I used to be ashamed of that. I remember driving up to one place and trying to hide what I bought from another place so that, you know, people wouldn't see my collection of stuff. But I'm so glad I'm free of those things now and just focusing on being healthy today and making good choices, and staying close to God. Pass.
Thank you, Rena. What's the first initial of your last name?
I only go by Rena in New Jersey in all my programs.
Oh, okay. Thanks so much, Rena. Appreciate your share and everybody's share. Okay, great. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jennifer A. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes. Hi. Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much. Page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Elaine?
Yes, just waiting for the recording.
My computer died. Can you